Okay. Did you see what Scottish soccer fans have done in the city of Boston?
They've completely taken over. Absolutely taken over. I watched a video yesterday. It was like a 3-minute video. They were actually had moved on to Nantucket.
Yeah.
And just destroyed Nantucket. We're just drinking every ounce of beer that they can find. And they're having a great time. And I guess the locals are loving having them around as well.
The best thing I saw on the internet yesterday was just some random woman named Karen McGee who tweeted out the following. The Scots might mess around and earn themselves an invite to the Southeastern Conference. Because of their partying. How they're getting after it.
They know what they're doing.
They have Sam Adams, I guess, at some bar, they drank it dry, completely dry. There was a video of them taking over at Fenway. And then yesterday, there was a video of Croatian fans parading down the middle of the street in Dallas. There were English fans going crazy. I think they were in Dallas, too. There were
Norwegian fans that were doing like the rowing motion on an escalator.
Dude, hysterical.
It's great.
You got Lawrence, Kansas, because Algeria is staying in Lawrence and working out in Lawrence, and fans have adopted them, and they are having just a blast rooting for Algeria, and they've adopted Algeria. Gator, I got FOMO. I'm like, Detroit has been in the mix for hosting events, and given this was three countries hosting the World Cup, and so, you know, I guess we were just one of the cities, I don't know how seriously we went after it, but I'm looking at all these other cities that look like they're having fun with all these foreigners coming in. And it's like love fest between these soccer fans and the towns that they're in. And I'm like, man, it'd be cool if it were going on here.
Yeah.
You don't care?
Yeah. I just think about if I were at, you know, one of my favorite watering holes and then it was overrun by another country's fans, I'd probably be annoyed by it. I respect that they're enjoying themselves and have a great time, but, you know, it's fine.
I think it looks fantastic. And then the other thing,
I didn't say it didn't look fantastic. I just said, I don't know if I want to be part of it.
The other thing that I'm amazed at is, and it's fun to watch, is foreigners posting about what amazes them about America. Like there's some French guy that did a deep dive into his disbelief of Buc-ee's. The gas station. He was going on and on about, in a French accent, about how much he loved Buc-ee's. There's a German guy who's tweeting like constantly about driving around the United States, going from game to game, and he's blown away by everything. There was a Scottish guy, I don't know, they're down on the coast somewhere, like in Texas, and the houses on stilts. He can't believe it. He's like, why are they? I can't, what's going on here? But he's doing it in a Scottish accent.
Right.
Of all the things, like they are amazed at stuff that we're accustomed to.
I saw something where there were English fans that were talking about drinking beer and how much they appreciate drinking beer at the colder temperatures. Like here in the United States, we drink cold beer.
Right.
You have your beer right around, you know, 35 degrees or whatever, you know, or less if you go to other places. But
Twin Peaks,
they're not used to 29 having
29 degrees.
They're not used to having beer served cold. It's like room temperature. And they're like, this is
amazing.
This is unbelievable. We very much prefer cold beer.
Kang, have you seen anything from the foreigners?
Oh, dude. The fact that they our food and the portion size. I see that online.
Yeah, yeah,
online.
The
they're
portion
like,
size.
You guys eat this much at once?
This is great. I can't believe. I mean, we order bangers and mashes, but it doesn't compare to this. This is unbelievable. Look at all that. Good Lord. It'll feed my whole clan. Robbie, come over here. Look what he got. It's unbelievable.
Can you do one from like each country?
And you got a sauce to go with. I can't believe it.
When they see American barbecue and the size of the ribs or the portion of, you know, the brisket and pulled pork.
You get 12? Good God, man. Can't believe it. We just got a bit of a taste, you know. It was nothing like this. I want more. It spoiled me. Go back to Edinburgh. I don't know what happened. Have a couple of Nookie Bruins. Next thing I know, I want more in.
I mean, they're loving it. They are just absolutely loving it.
I have FOMO. We're missing out.
A nation of gluttony.
Well, we are.
We take it for granted how great this country is.
Well, I saw one person said, apparently, do they not have ranch dressing in England?
No.
Yeah. The ranch. So, why didn't you tell me about this? This is ranch? Ranch? What does ranch mean? It's great. Oh, this is amazing. What is it? Is it mayonnaise? What is it? Runny mayonnaise? But it's delicious. Who knew? What are you dipping your French fries in that? What? I can put my chips in there? Oh my God. This is incredible.
So why did no one tell me about this? It's like crack, people are saying. We need ranch ASAP in Europe. That's what people are saying.
We don't know what crack is here in Europe, but I imagine it's like this.
I'm a crackhead. Goes back home and tells everybody.
I mean, the funny thing of all is what you mentioned earlier. You got a French person reviewing Buc-ee's.
Yes.
Like, you feel, picture the French being as snooty as they are. Do not care what you have to offer me. What is that, brisket in a gas station? Let me try it. Oh, ooh la la. This is magnifique. I can't believe it.
How long do you practice these voices? This is good.
I don't. It's just throwing right it out there. Buck Martinez is different. But
he literally, the French guy was like.
Angus McFart is different. I don't know, it just comes right out.
The French guy was blown away with the bathrooms. Everybody says the Buc-ee's bathrooms, and he's.
How is it this clean without a bidet? I don't understand.
Did you order Buc-ee's a Michelin star?
Yeah. Oh, it's so great. So, again, am I the only one that's got FOMO here?
You and your processed food is delicious.
The rest of the country is having fun. And
I'm glad they're having fun. But like I said, I don't need to see it.
You sound like you'd love it.
No, he doesn't need to.
A handful, sure. I don't want the takeover. Yeah.
Jean-Claude. I'm trying to fill up my tank.
Right, yeah, relax. I got it. It's cold. Yeah. All right. Who knew? You could chill your beverage. Ooh. Good God. That's revolutionary. Didn't know that could happen. Look, if I'm at a bar and there's a handful of Scots hanging out and enjoying it, yeah, that's cool. I don't need to walk into the bar and you know, be one of 10 locals. Because we got the takeover.
Well, I guess it's just me. Kang, do you feel like we're missing out? Are you having some FOMO?
No.
All right. Bobby, you?
100%. This looks like a blast.
Doesn't it?
I wish I was there.
Bobby looks a little Scottish.
I'd fit in for sure.
I think you're ready to do the caber toss. Have some haggis.
I mean, one of my favorite scenes that I've seen is the guys with the bagpipes that pull up next to the street drummers.
Oh,
I love that.
Yeah, there's some people in a neighborhood. I don't know where they were staying, where the Scottish go out and play the bagpipes every morning. And they're like, we love this.
Or there was the march down some park where it's like a thousand people with bagpipes. Oh, that would be beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Next, you know, some rats start following them. The snakes are following them. Get them all out of town.
Anyway, USA tomorrow, 3:00. 0.0, any chance you watch it?
What time is that?
3:00 Eastern. On television. It's on television.
If I'm home.
All right.
I don't know. Well, I mean, I might be playing golf tomorrow. I don't know. It's going to be competing with the U.S. Open. I don't know. It's probably going to lose out to the U.S. Open. But I could flip around. I told you, the biggest thing it's got going for it is it's 4K. So,
dude, it's great.
If I can watch something in 4K on my TV, then I want to watch something in 4K.
There's not
on my
enough
TV.
Available in 4K.
There's not enough. No.
All right, Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Feedback coming in regarding some of the things you've seen out there as foreigners react to America with the World Cup here, and they're amazed at the most simple of things. Text here from Scott says the one fan was amazed that they get free refills at restaurants. He was going to sit there all day for free refills of soda. From Vincent Dexter, just wait until all the foreigners get to witness Joey Chestnut on the 4th of July.
My goodness.
I live in Kansas City now and work at Arrowhead. All these fans in the Kansas City area are amazing. The atmosphere is great. Texas barbecue, so much better than me mom's fizzy wickets with brown sauce, signed some British guy. I should have had you read that one.
Does anybody remember what it was like? Was it 1994 when we had the World Cup here?
I think it was, yeah.
Anybody remember what it was like then?
I really don't.
I remember a little bit of the Ryder Cup when it was here. And I actually had one of my buddies, his cousin from Scotland came over, and we went out. There were like eight of us that went out on the town in Royal Oak one night. And that was great because it was just one rather than the entire entourage. But he was loving it.
You just don't like the idea of a takeover.
I don't want the takeover. Yeah. I want to have numbers.
Dude, they took over Fenway. The Scots took over Fenway. It was something else.
I saw somewhere, it was like a rodeo. Do you see this video?
Oh, yeah.
Where they're singing an Oasis song?
Yeah.
All the English fans took over?
Hysterical. All right. Kevin Weeks, who is ESPN NHL Network, who played in the NHL, was a goalie, tweeted out the following late yesterday. Per sources, another name getting plenty of attention is forward McTavish of the Anaheim Ducks. He's got skill, grit, term, and upside. Teams calling. It would be a quality hockey trade, I'm told. See how this goes.
So it's Mason McTavish.
Yes. Who's 25?
23. He's a third pick overall from the 2021 draft. He's played the last four full seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a lot of high hopes for him, right? They signed him to a big contract. It was going to pay him, I think it's $7 million a year for 6 years. So he signed for several more years. And being 23, it sounds like it's a good deal. However, he hasn't quite lived up to the billing. He did a third pick overall, and there's really high expectations. And his first full year in the NHL, he had 43 points in 80 games. The next year, he only played 64 games, but he had 42 points, so almost matched that total, and actually had more goals with 19. Then he went up to 76 games, but and 22 goals. That was a nice little jump there, 52 points. Then last year, he played 75 games. He signed the big contract before this past season, and he ended up with 41 points and 17 goals in 75 games. So that's a step in the wrong direction. And has been a minus 54 player in his 304 games in his career. Now, given you're playing to Anaheim, so Anaheim wasn't always all that great. They made the playoffs this past season, but prior to that, nothing special. So he's a guy who's got talent, but if you're talking about a Dylan Larkin move, and who knows if Anaheim is on his precious list of teams to go to, but if... I didn't even mean to say it like that. You really said it like that.
You said it like that.
That's not fair.
Do you work for like the Iserman? Like, no, I get it from that point of view.
I actually like Larkin. I want this thing to work out where he stays.
Why does he have such a good contract where he can allow himself to not be traded when he doesn't want to be traded?
But I don't know if I was on his precious list of teams to go to. But if it is, you got to get more than just that.
Of course, yeah. He'd be the centerpiece.
Yeah.
And then you get, their second-round pick this year, or their first-round pick next year, or a cadre of other young players.
Yeah, do they have anything else to offer in their prospects?
They don't have a first-round pick this year, by the way. That's why I just went to...
Sure, fair enough. Yeah. But I doubt that, first-round... I mean, if they had a first-round pick this year...
Do you think they'd do a first-round pick next year and McTavish?
I don't know. I don't think teams like going back-to-back years without having a first-round pick. But would they have any prospects that the Red Wings would be interested in? And you have to take a look at the prospect list. But, McTavish obviously would be the first part of this move if it is, in fact, a viable move. And, again, a player with a lot of upside. Mm-hmm. Third overall in the draft, comes to a team that would have some talent around, you know, whether he would be playing with DeBrincat or does he play with Raymond. Either way, you know, that would be a nice pairing to have, and maybe his numbers shoot up dramatically if that's the case. And then you've got, again, it's a player that you would have under contract for five more years at a very reasonable rate.
248-539-9797. Let's go to John and Davison. You're on 97.1. Hello, John.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, man?
I was in downtown Pontiac in 94 when the World Cup was going on, and they had closed Saginaw Street right in downtown, and I was bar hopping with all of the World Cup people, and I remember being in an Irish pub, don't remember the name of it, couldn't tell you if it's still there, and just partying like rock stars with guys from Denmark or Norway or something like that, and they were just having a great time. And it was the downtown was packed, and it was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, downtown Pontiac in 1994 was pretty great. They had just the whole section there along Saginaw Street had a ton of bars and restaurants. It was some great nightlife back then.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then side note, because soccer has to be played on real grass, they were growing grass in the parking lot in trays at the Silverdome and then using forklifts to bring them in to play the game and then bringing them back outside.
Yeah, so, and unfortunately, they couldn't use the air conditioning because it would kill the grass, and it was like 98 degrees inside the Silverdome or something like that.
I remember the grass was like on hexagons, and they like pieced together. It was really cool to watch them put it together. We were just talking about the World Cup and how much fun it seems to be for this host cities, and how I'm depressed we don't have it this time around.
I was, you know, it's funny. I didn't put it on my show sheet, but I was going to ask on the show sheet, is anybody jealous of Jim Costa right now? And it sounds like you're really jealous of Jim Costa because he's in Toronto specifically to watch.
He went to the Ghana Panama game yesterday where Ghana scored in the 95th minute, like in extra time, and won 1-0. It was the rain. I hope he was prepared. Good clothing decisions. But yeah, I mean, I'm more jealous of the cities that are getting to host.
Do you think he left early?
I wondered that.
Regret it for the rest of his life, Gator?
You can't do that in soccer, though, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Because you never know what's going to be a tie or not. I mean, it's one thing to leave a game if it seems like it's a big lead. But
anytime you leave anything early, you're running the risk.
Yeah.
But didn't he went for the experience, though, not for the actual like?
Well, he's
game.
He's not a native of Panama.
Yeah, or Ghana.
No.
So. No, he went because I think he wants to see World Cup action.
Yeah, that's it. Like, yeah. I think, you know. I thought you meant, like, is Doug jealous because of the catio that he has?
No, not about the catio, no.
I'm jealous of the
Doug's
cities.
Doug's finally cat-free, I think.
I'm jealous of the cities that get to host. Because, I mean, I could have bought tickets and gone.
Toronto would be interesting because Toronto's an international city anyway.
Very much so, yeah.
Literally.
It's not the United States.
It's quite cosmopolitan.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. So, look. As far as McTavish is concerned, we tweeted out this question to Red Wing fans. Want to know, hey, how would you feel about this being the return? What do we got here? From the Pucks Library, McTavish feels like the type of player every team wants, but he feels like the perfect fit for both the Bruins and Canadians. Who pays the bigger price? The question. We want him in Detroit, maybe. Rich says, not opposed to it, depending on what is out there. But there has to be more. They have to couple young D that are decent. Roger McQueen, whose stock is down, this deal most likely doesn't improve the Wings. Trent says, fine, if he's the third best asset in return. I don't know if that's reasonable. So he wouldn't be the third best asset in a return. Then you're asking price. What do you want? Multiple first-round picks?
The ghost of Paul Kariya? What are you looking for?
Burrell says, considering Larkin's trade list, which is just bad for us asset-wise, a package of McTavish, one of Zellweger or Mintukayov, and a first-round pick is the best we can hope for, along with a potential deal with Utah. Utah's name keeps getting bandied about by anybody who's covering this. And so, Utah is stocked full of prospects.
Yeah, Utah really is.
Chris writes in, wouldn't mind McTavish on the roster, but he doesn't come close to filling the void Larkin will leave. He's one of the slower skaters in the league, so the Wings will need to supplement Larkin's skill set elsewhere. He is if his potential is realized, he's more of a 2C. From CBVE, I would love it. All things considered, fresh, young, proven talent to add to Sider, Raymond, and Evanson. 40-point scorer in the last four seasons, 50-point in 24-25. Give me a fun young player with loads of potential versus picks. Lottery tickets, as Stevie says. Enough. Derek writes in, needs to be more coming back than just McTavish. Potential is there for sure. I just don't see Larkin joining the Ducks. Maybe there's a third team to play into that scenario. And try to figure out where he'll accept and where he won't accept being traded is a whole nother deal, right?
Right. We don't know the expanded list, who's on it.
But the belief is there is an expanded list.
Yes, that there you would have to. Obviously the list has to expand. It's definitely expanded beyond the three teams, but we don't know who the other teams are. But I mean, Anaheim was a team last year that had 92 points, third in the Pacific last year. It's an up and coming team. They have got some young players, really good. Cutter Gauthier is really good. 41 goals last year. They like what he's, and they won't build this team around him. I'm surprised that Mason McTavish is already on the trading block because they just gave him a contract.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're Anaheim and the upside for Detroit of taking McTavish is that he's only 23 and signed, and then if it's not much else that you have to give up, it would make all the sense in the world for the Ducks if they could add Dylan Larkin to the mix. Dylan Larkin would, become arguably the best player right away.
It's Carson Anderson, 97.1. Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Talking about whether or not Mason McTavish from Anaheim, who's being shopped around, would be a good piece for the Red Wings to get back, part of a larger trade in a Dylan Larkin move to Anaheim. McTavish has had some great production, but is not quite lived up to the contract of what they thought he was going to be. Still a very good player, but you would have to add in some other stuff. But how would you feel about that being a centerpiece, if you will, coming back, or at least part of a trade coming back? 248-539-9797. Drew is next. Hi, Drew.
Hey, I just want to say real quick, whoever picks the music for between the segments, they just all bangers, every single one. So good on you, whoever does that.
Who did that? It's the same music forever, I'm pretty sure.
Well, if people like it, it's me. If they don't, it's Bobby.
Okay.
Anyway, Mason McTavish is nowhere near enough for Dylan Larkin. I mean, we have Mason McTavish in Detroit already. It's called JT Compher and Andrew Copp. So we're good on that. Unless they wanted to give us Jackson Lacombe to put next to Sider and then move Edmondson back, I could do something like that, but they're not giving him up. But if I'm making a trade with Anaheim, it's got to be for Senecky. I think it's the only move.
So he's the winger
you tell Verbeek, hey, dude, just call me when you're ready.
So Senecky had 23 goals last year, 60 points in 82 games. I don't know what his contract status is.
Is there any report that he's
20 years old? They're not giving up.
They're not unless they. I haven't seen a report that he's available.
He's also a third overall pick. Yeah. I can't imagine he's. But that's what he's saying.
That's fine. Yeah,
to go there. Well, okay, Anaheim, you don't have much. I'll take your young stud. Give it to me, and then we can talk. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. And this is the conversation Steve Yzerman is going to have with a bunch of teams.
Yep.
Because he has to sell high with Dylan Larkin. This is a player that other teams really would covet, but it's not going to come cheap. And we know that the asking price at the trade deadline, at least the reported asking price for Robert Thomas from St. Louis was a first round pick, a player who was a first round pick and somebody else who's playing like one. They wanted three guys of that ilk at three separate levels or stages of their career. That's what they wanted in return for Robert Thomas. And no team was going to meet that. Well, I mean, Dylan Larkin should be held in the same esteem. And Dylan Larkin's contract, the way it plays out, it's brilliant for the team that's accepting him.
Should we tell about the email today?
Yes, 100%.
We get an email from promotions.
Yeah.
That there are some spare tickets for some Tiger games this weekend. Highlighted multiple times in the email in big, all caps, highlighted with yellow. You know, we have some following tickets available to the following game, blah, 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 blah. Then in yellow, highlighted. Please do not reply all. Then you'll send your first name, last name, email address associated with the MLB ballpark app. Here are the games that are available. Please let me know if you have any questions. All caps, highlighted in yellow. Please do not reply all. This was sent at 8 a.m. today. At 9:44, a member of the station sure as heck replied all. Everyone think, who do you think might have done that? Just conjure up your answer in your mind.
Who would, is it careless? Is that the right word?
I don't know if it's careless. It's possible that you maybe don't even really know what you're doing.
Cluelessly. Absent-mindedly.
That's right. Ticket gets sent out June 23rd, please, for if possible. Michael Stoney Stone replied all.
Which that got other people to reply all, which is fantastic. Yep.
Grunwald from over at the country station. Stoney, Evan, boo this man. Kang replied to all. Is this the reply all button?
I just want to make sure. So it's actually worse than that, guys.
Okay.
It's worse because we were talking to Stoney, Lori, me and Evan, we're talking to Stoney about how someone always does reply all. And it's a certain person, I won't say the name, but they all, she always replies all. And we're like, why does she do this? Stoney's laughing with us, agreeing, why would she do this? And then he does it! And then he does it! And I walk back from like grabbing a print or something from the copy or whatever, and I come back and Stoney goes, all I hear Stoney say is, this might be the dumbest thing I've ever done. And I had no idea what he was talking about. And then I find out, and I'm like, are you serious, Stoney? We just talked about this right 2 seconds ago.
Fantastic.
That is so great. Poor Mike then walked around the rest of the morning here in shame. And, you know, it's bold, man. Do not reply all.
Right. You really can't miss it because it's in yellow.
Yep.
And says it's twice in this email. It's in yellow.
All caps.
All caps.
Exclamation point.
Oh, my God. That's fantastic.
So funny. Now, I look down. There's a lot of Rieger guesses that came in via on Twitch. There's a Brian Chapman guess. But Stoney absentmindedly did indeed reply all. Oh, man. Hysterical. But kind of on brand a little bit, huh?
Don't go changing.
248-539-9797. Carson Anderson. More feedback coming in on the possibility of a McTavish. Would McTavish coming back to Detroit from Anaheim in a Dylan Larkin trade? Would be, I'm kind of waiting for someone to bring this up. B-Mall says he's horrible on defense, a two center at best. It has to be a McTavish plus for me to even consider it. No way we can get McQueen as well, but that would what it would take to entice me. The defensive thing, what'd you say his plus minus was?
For McTavish?
Yeah.
In his career, he's like minus 54.
Yeah.
In 300 games.
Frank says fits the window. I wouldn't hate it. Vandy 1730. I like him, but he's slow, and our biggest issue is our speed, so we need a lot more. From Sparty Wings 83. Not opposed to it, but there needs to be more in a package, and you have to surround him with speed and creativity.
There's no question it would be more in a package. Yep. It's just don't know what that would be.
Yep. 248-539-9797. More feedback here again via Twitter. In my opinion, this is from Surfing Pete. In my opinion, a trade center around McTavish better come with some other great assets because McTavish ain't an elite asset. I'd rather go with elite potential prospect packages than him. Again, I'm fine, but Steve Eisenman needs to crush this trade. You need a haul for Larkin.
Yeah, and Larkin's not elite, but Larkin's awfully good. And I think he's more valued outside this fan base than he is from this fan base. So I think he would get you something really nice in return. I just don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we can speculate all you want. There's lots of prospects you look at. But, I mean, do you want prospects or do you want to get somebody who's ready to go right now and contribute more than 50 points in the season?
Right.
Because what you're giving up, and this is what you have to keep in mind, you're giving up a guy who consistently scores 30-plus goals a season. Consistently does it. He's done it 5 years in a row. He's done it 6 of the last 7 years. So I need to get somebody in return who's got potential to be a 30-goal scorer. And right now, Mason McTavish hasn't shown anywhere near that. His high in the season is 22, and that was a couple years ago.
Kelby on Twitch says, all these people that want elite talent back were calling Dylan Larkin a 2C last week. Well, look, you know how this is. You want to see all your own players' faults, complain about them, but then if you're going to trade them, you want the world back for them. And
right. And, of course, that's if you would trade them for a forward. I'd want somebody who gets – I mean, you don't have to trade them for a forward. It could be a stud defenseman, I guess.
Okay, apparently this Lion is going to have to fight for his job. We'll get to that today at 12:50 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1.
I read you the headline from USA Today earlier during a break. I thought it was great. Today would be a great day for Godzilla to show up in New York Knicks parade.
Right. Yep. You're a fan of that one, huh?
Can we make that happen?
King Kong, too. Come on.
Right.
Make it happen.
Let's go. Bring them all over there.
You know, I want to read this tweet we got because it's something that comes up every once in a while. We, of course, lost a colleague years ago, Jamie Samuelson, and we always talk about getting your screening for
colon cancer.
And the guys are real hesitant about it. It's an invasive procedure, but you sleep through the whole thing.
Colonoscopy.
Yeah, the colonoscopy part. The only hard part is the prep. And we have done the prep. And I did the prep live on the air once. It was during, I did the show from home. And if you don't know what the prep is, you have to clean out your entire system. So you drink a gallon of, it's water mixed with this formula, and it flushes you out. It means you constantly have to go number two.
Ish.
And
too adjacent.
Yeah, it is kind of too adjacent.
Becomes so, number one really quickly.
I was on the air right through the middle of it, the heart of it, or just in the middle of segments, I'd say, gotta go. And away I would go.
Because you have to answer the call.
You gotta go. And then you go in for the procedure. They say, where they hook you up to an IV and they say, count backwards from 10 to 1. And you might make it to 7. And then the procedure's over. It's done because you're knocked out cold. It's a great nap.
Yeah.
You wake up and you're like, is it over?
And then you can't leave until you let loose some sweetness.
Yep. But anyway, we encourage guys to get it done. Jamie's message was to get it done. And we just got a tweet from a listener, Tom, who tweets us, I always appreciate the humor and openness you share, especially in Jamie's memory. I'm currently on the liquid diet, T-minus 6 hours and change, away from the prep for tomorrow's nap. World Cup to watch from the toilet at 6 p.m., but what to watch at 3 a.m.? Well, Tom, good luck. It's quite a ride. The prep is the only thing.
I say to people all the time, because the first time I've gone through it twice.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I had no idea what to expect. And I was, you know, the prep ended up being, I ended up laughing. But the third time I went to the toilet, I was laughing because it's just funny. You can't help but laugh at what's going on with your body as it's eliminating everything that you had in there. But when I got to the facility in the morning to have the procedure done, I was nervous as hell because I didn't know what it was. And you have that horrible, anxious feeling in your stomach. You don't feel good. You're like, I don't know what's happening here. And it was the unknown of what this whole thing was about. And once you go through it, you realize there was absolutely nothing to be fearful of. The only thing, I guess, to be fearful of are the results, but certainly not the procedure itself. Nope, there's nothing. No reason to be anxious. So the second time I had it, again, laughing my ass off at the prep in the middle of the night and having to do this again at like 3 o'clock in the morning, same thing with this guy. And, you know, I get there in the morning and I was all set, like not one bit of nerves. I was looking forward to when the nurse or the physician's assistant would come in and give me the initial, they give you some kind of relaxing agent, if you will, that you feel fine. You're like, all right, let's go. You know, and then I'm tired. I'm like, I might even nap before they get me the procedure, and then they have it. And it's nothing. It's easy. It's easy breezy. It's just the time that it takes out of your day. It ruins your sleep pattern and your eating pattern for 2 days, but outside you're fine.
Ask your doctor when there's mixed messages now. They're telling guys, I think, to do it earlier.
Yeah.
Like 35 or something like that. But ask your doctor. Yeah. And you're supposed to get it every 5 years. Those of us in the polyp club go every like 3 years. But it is something that every guy should do and take care of. And so, Tom, we haven't mentioned it on the air in a while. I'm glad you sent the tweet over so we can just remind everybody it's nothing to be afraid of.
It's nothing to be afraid.
And quite frankly, if you have a great attitude about it, it can be quite amusing.
Yes. And they have... And get an annual physical too.
Sure.
I have my annual physical coming up on Monday. It's just good practice to have that. And I guess there are ways now that actually they can do some screening with a blood test for colon cancer too. Yep. Ahead of time. So lots of things to discuss with a doctor, and please discuss them with your doctor.
All right, before the break, I brought this up, that this lion was going to have to compete for his job. And here's what Dan Campbell said about him. He's moving pretty good, all that stuff. And so just to make sure that you can stay on top of that, you're ready to go for training camp, and then it's on. It's just about competing. We got a lot of good guys in that room, and he knows this. He's got to go and earn it. He is Terrion Arnold. Terrion Arnold is a player that has shown some potential, has made some on-field mistakes. We're not quite sure the level of degree he's guilty of making off-field mistakes, but it feels as though he's a guy that perhaps at the very was part of a bad scene down in Florida in the offseason and a robbery and all that. But he may have nothing to do with it. We'll just wait for that thing to play out. It feels like there needs to be some grow up there, but he also needs to stay healthy. And I'm a Terrion Arnold fan-ish. Like I was forgiving of the pass interference calls early in his career. He was young cornerback. It's a tough position to play.
Yeah, you got to learn what you can get away with.
Yep. And, you know, as a secondary coach once told me, we're working on the pass interference, but you know how hard it is just to be in the right place to commit pass interference? Like it's sometimes guys that have incredible potential commit a lot of pass interference earlier in their career, and they learn how to not do it, but they're in the right place to make a play. Arnold's quote is, entering camp, obviously I want to be 100%, but right now I'd say I'm about 75 or 80. Like, I mean, the main thing for me is just knowing that I'm healthy. It's one of those things that you have to go through, and you have to go out there and play knowing that you're not 100%. Nobody's at 100%, but just being able to go out there and enter camp knowing that I've had surgeries and got worked on, feeling better like that, I'm ready for that.
So he's had shoulder surgery.
Yep.
That's what he's recovering from. He's had a hamstring injury before. He had a groin injury before. But it's the shoulder that he's recovering from. And like he said, 75 to 80% as mm-hmm. it stands today or yesterday when he talked with the media. They still have 5 weeks or so before training camp begins. So we'll see how much closer he is to 100% by that point in time. But this is a big year for Terrion Arnold.
Big year.
It's a huge year for Terrion Arnold. He's entering year three. He was a first-round pick, so they have up to 5 years with him before they have to truly make a decision. But, you know, for him, he wants to have a good year so that he can agree to an extension. He wants to be one of those guys. But there is competition. You know, they drafted Keith Abney, and there's a lot of praise for Keith Abney from his college days. They brought in Roger McCreary and Christian Izian, and Ennis Rakestraw is a guy who's drafted in the round after Terrion Arnold, who's another corner that has a ton to prove. because he has hardly seen the field in 2 years. There should be a ton of competition, which should only be great for the Lions. And hopefully these guys can stay healthy, because it's a position group that is very difficult to stay healthy.
What do you make of Dan Campbell's offseason approach? It feels like they're paring some things down, but there's no, what are they called, inter-squad scrimmages, joint practices, right? Not doing that. They didn't do rookie mini camp.
I thought it was, I think some of it's interesting. I thought, first of all, what he had to say a month ago when these workouts first started happening, I thought that was interesting, because it wasn't like the typical effusive of the praise of the players. It was more, we got to get back to business, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't like not making the playoffs last season. It was embarrassing to us. And yeah, we've suffered injuries and all that, but there's something else that's off. We need to focus and be better. And that's where the attention was. So we didn't, for all these OTAs have had like three different sessions, right? And now this 2-day mini camp as well, now that's done. It seems like his approach has been very cautious about what he is saying and who he is saying it about. And we know from the past that when Dan Campbell actually mentions a player's name and says something like this, like what he said with Terry Arnold, that you better be on alert here. He said something similar years ago regarding Jared Goff. And said, Jared Goff has to be better. And then, boom, Jared Goff just kind of blossomed that next year, and we've seen 3+ great years of Jared Goff. So hopefully the same thing can happen here with Terry and Arnold. But I think with his other approach, and then we're going to take it a little bit differently with practicing and how violent they are in practices, we'll see how that is in training camp. But right now, I think it makes sense to just refocus the attention.
And that's what he seems. It's like a no lesser nonsense, all business, yeah. Dan Campbell. And it wasn't like there was a lot of nonsense to begin with. But all right, Carson Anderson, Gator, you asked a question in your show sheet. My answer was resounding yes. In fact, I put my money behind it. We'll get to that today at 102 on Carson Anderson on 97.1.